Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to all the weirdos, to all the freaks, to all the people who are actually on the outside. But you don't ever end up in that list, do you? You're not in that poem, are you? Your name is not recognized. You are simply meant for oblivion. Good morning to you. Good morning to those folks hunting alligators in Florida. Down there on your whatever swamp boats, air boats, as if I give a fuck, I wish I had one. Oh, Burt Reynolds, you know, everybody wants an airboat. Good morning to you guys. Capture many gators so you can have a gator-style breakfast, maybe, or brunch. It's Friday. Friday, the 13th. It is Friday, the 13th, 2024. Did you know that if you subtract 1 from 3, you got 2? And if you add 1 to 3, you get 4? And so it's Friday, the 13th, 2024, December 12, 13. 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff, baby. We're heading to outer space to save the human race. We'll stop being a disgrace because we're getting in that rocket ship with Elon. And Papa Blump will wave goodbye as our rocket ships stream away. And we'll find a new life on Mars. Mars, and we'll be lords and lordresses, queens and kings of Mars. Dukes and counts of Mars. Some of us will drive around in fancy cars. The lower gravity will allow us to ascend to next level thinking. In that low gravity, we'll learn how to find a special kind of peace, a special kind of love. We will establish the first hooker republic of Mars. It was foretold in the year 2017. And we could dwell upon those various militaristic, monastic sects of the Middle Ages, the various groups of Teutonic Knights and Gondo Lords, the Squibs and the Cribs, but need us forget the fucking Templars. And here's one thing you need to know about the Vatican, about Rome. It goes back to the Tarquins, fucker. Rome doesn't like competition. And let's just be more specific. Government doesn't like competition. The devil doesn't like competition. So I can believe every greasy story about the Knights Templars. They were probably mercenaries who went to the Middle East to rip people off. Hey, I hate to break it to you. That cycle has not ended. You know, I'm sorry for shocking you. The one thing that will probably not change now that Assad and his family have left Damascus, they have fled Syria. The one thing that probably will not change is the fact that there are U.S. forces occupying specific places in Syria that have oil. So no, not a lot has changed, fucker. Not a lot has changed. In 800, 900 years of bullshit crusades, pretty much it's the same old fucking song. But supposedly, a long time ago, sometime during the dusky times of the Middle Ages, when all sorts of ladies would go about with unshaven legs. And now I get stockings, baby. I totally understand stockings. Stockings are very useful. Without stockings, I don't want to go there, and now I sound racist. Yeah. Stockings. stockings. It's funny, words that sound the same, but they don't mean the same thing, you know? And I don't want to look up the name for that because I really don't care this morning. It's like 4:20 a.m. So no, I'm not going to do that. But yeah, on this particular day, Friday the 13th, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, the Vatican sent out a kill order. Kill the Templar. Kill the Templar. Steal his shit. Kill the Templar. Go to his castle. Find the vault. And steal his shit. And probably kill the wife and the kids too, you know. And make no mistake, one of the outcomes of the Crusades was to reinvigorate, to, in some fundamental sense, solidify the militaristic culture of the West. Because I think a person could have made the argument that if not for the Crusades, the Middle Ages might have killed that, because it was a thing we should have left behind with the fucking Romans, with those stupid fucks. When we finally understood that each one of us is born free, we should have left all that militaristic bullshit in the dust. But then a pope, not the same pope, a different pope, way, way back, I think 1100 years ago, roughly, more or less after the reign of Charlemagne, I think. So the first thing they did once they had a new Holy Roman Emperor was, you know, to start some little crusades. Look, they started out small. And then you had a couple centuries of crusades. And you could argue that it really never did end. Like, there were ebbs and flows, but through the Middle Ages, through the High Middle Ages, through the Renaissance, through modernity, we're still going to the Middle East to rip off poor people. And that's the fucking truth. And if you want to play pretend, you can. I don't care. There have been a few topics and subjects, if you've listened to my podcast, I haven't wanted to touch since 2020. I think there's been a few places I have not wanted to go. And I rarely discuss them because if I did, I think it would indicate that I am mentally ill. Let's just remind ourselves. I'm going to drink a little bit of water here if that's okay. Let's remind ourselves. None of us is that special. I'm not saying you're not unique. You're probably unique as fuck. Your stage name as a stripper might be unique without the extra U and E at the end. But that doesn't make you special. If your mom calls you special, it still doesn't make you special. Or me special. Or your mom, who I'm with right now, fuck you, special. That doesn't mean we're bad. It just means we have to kind of ground ourselves. When we're looking at the world around us, let's not pretend that the problems we have are only our problems. Usually there's other people with similar problems. Let's not pretend that the sins we commit are only our sins. The reality is, this is a fucking world of sin. And if you're an atheist, let's not pretend the mistakes we make are just that, you know, our own mistakes. You'll find, especially if you go into insurance, you'll find that people make similar mistakes. So there's a subject I haven't wanted to touch. I believe that governments like ours, when they're in collapse, basically do, you know, incredibly irrational things. Government itself is crazy. But if you can imagine government taking a crazy pill, that often happens at the end. And so whether it's some Chinese emperor or some Roman emperor or some Middle Ages king or queen, whether it's the frickin' pope or not, at the end, these guys will do things that are crazy. At the end, and I've talked about this before, but you really have to think on how fucking crazy this is. At the end, I think it was April 1945, Adolf Hitler ordered Albert Speer to wire Germany to explode. And let me explain what he meant by this. He wanted, like a fucking Wile E. Coyote cartoon, okay, Roadrunner bullshit, Acme fucking dynamite. Hitler wanted Albert Speer to take what was left of resources, set up public buildings and houses, every house. If you owned a house, I'm sorry about your HOA. He wanted to take every building, every house, everything, and raze it, destroy it, burn it, blow it up. That was Hitler's grand plan when he was on that weird ass, you know, bull testicle sauce that his doctor was giving him. Let's just blow up Germany. At the end, governments do crazy things. In part because they're crazy, like I said to begin with, and you can only take crazy so far before it becomes inherently self-destructive. And like Ouroboros, it just swallows itself. I've noticed a weird pattern in the last few weeks. I've talked about it, and it's weird because the individual events don't really connect. But if you look at it from a big picture, it does kind of connect. When I ended up torching my Zero Hedge account and my Twitter account, I immediately started getting weird kinds of messages from various types of online stalkers. I think there's one particular dude right now that thinks he's special. Holy fuck. There's one stalker, and I don't think it's a person. I think it's really just resources being spent and people doing jobs. So when I say stalker, at this point, the one thing I know is it's not personal. But there's one particular thread of this thing that thinks it wants to convince me it's special. And what's really funny is it's not. It's not special, it's not new. Once you collect all these things together, you start to see something. And you see something that, if it's false, might indicate you're crazy. But I've seen a lot of strange things in the last couple weeks. And I don't think I'm alone, by the way. I think a lot of Americans are being treated a certain kind of way right now. I think millions are. I think that if you're asking yourself, what happens to $20 trillion that the DOD can't account for? Well, gee, you could have yourself a lot of bullshit with that, at least for a while. I mean, that's the thing to understand. These are not long-term plans. If you look at 2020, or frankly, just think about the bullshit going on in the Middle East, it looks rushed. It looks kind of just sloppy. Rushed and sloppy. If I could have a theme for the bullshit of the last year, rushed, sloppy. Sloppy rushed. None of it makes sense. It's like Time magazine making Trump the person of the year. It's crazy. But at the end, it gets that crazy. And this weird journalist popping up out of nowhere. I asked my niece, who is like a young person, have you ever heard of Mother Jones? She said no. And she'd never heard of this journalist. So I really don't know. All I can tell you is that it's weird. It's weird. Out of nowhere, people showing up, popping up. This fucking freak show from 2016 reemerging. And if I could go over the last 10 years with you and scratch that. If I could go into details of my fucking life that go back to maybe even when I was a teenager, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I don't think I'm special, but I do think we live in a really fucked up society. And I'm fairly certain a lot of us are being manipulated. And I also think that if that's happening, it's not personal. The freaks that are doing it, it's not personal. It may feel that way because they do their jobs well. It's like the drill instructor. When I went to basic training, because again, I grew up in John Hughes' bullshit world. When I went to basic training, before someone gave me some good advice, at first, I took the drill instructor seriously. So when, you know, if he decided to pick on me, I actually felt it. And this is part of how I grew up. I'm not going to excuse it, forgive it, or explain it to any other cringier detail. But it's part of how I grew up. And once you realize the drill instructor has no personal relationship with you, and in reality, probably has a broken marriage, or just split up with a girlfriend or a boyfriend, you know, whatever these days, who knows. That person that you feel something about, that person that you think doesn't like you, in reality has their own separate life, their own drama. Once you understand that, then you can do one thing that takes away the power. It's not personal. If you are shadow banned on Twitter, it's not personal. If you cannot create a YouTube account because you're basically permanently prevented from doing that, and what makes it weirder is that if people post low-quality recordings of a shortwave broadcast that ostensibly is approved by the FCC, even those recordings get, you know, flagged and deleted by YouTube. Guess what? Not personal. None of it's personal. And for some people, that's scarier, because if you can explain it as a personal thing, then maybe there's a logic to it that ends up at, like, what? A happy ending? But it's not personal. Here's also something that I think the listeners who actually have listened to me and are real people, which means they have an understanding of history, which is funny. But this is something actual listeners know about me going back to frickin' 2014, when I was just pumping out a few little videos, and most of those are gone, by the way. Most of those little video pods are gone. Yeah. You know I'm a hermit. You know, probably know that I had some issues growing up. And you might know that one of my strategies, which I'm not saying is healthy, but one of my strategies for dealing with this bullshit is to go deep into my head. You know, the person talking to you, the person in the room, the person going to the movie theater, the person at the fucking bar or at the fucking club. I don't go to those places any longer. I hardly ever did. But the point is, if you saw me, you might see a version of me. But it's not me. And if I need to, if I don't want to be around a crowd of people, I can just go into my head. The fact is, there's very little that gang stalking can do to me at all. In fact, a better way of talking about it, there's very little that it could do that would represent harm, greater than the harm I already do to myself. And because I'm more or less divorced from most of humanity most of the day, because like I said, even in my job, if something's too big, I feel it too much, I have to go deep inside my fucking head. I look at the sky and I say to myself, how can people walk around so fucking stupid? That sky is obnoxious. That sky is fake. Those are not clouds. At least we can say that, right? But no. So I look at the sky and I shake my head and I go take a poop. But I stay deep inside of my head. The best opportunity that these motherfuckers ever had was 2016. That's the truth. If this is real, if I'm not mentally ill, then that was the one chance they had. And I think that explains why they, you know, dragged an old story back into the main thread. Because that old story came closest to destroying me. Last year in the woods was really bad. It was. And I could have lived better, but I didn't. So I made a choice, a series of choices that took a bad situation and made it worse. But I survived it. I don't know. After 2016, I was like the dog that somebody abuses, the dog that somebody kicks all day long, the dog that, like a person, like any living thing, eventually lashes out. And another feature of that dog and Dan is that they have a hard time ever trusting again. In fact, if I was to give credit for my ability to trust at this point, a lot of this is due to Boomer too, Boomer the dog. Because even if I thought the people around me weren't real at certain points in time, again, I could be crazy, Boomer always seemed real. And then I think about the fact that he died a year ago, and I wonder to myself. And it gets worse. So I want to just leave this subject here. I don't know what's going on in my life any more than maybe some of you do. And I can't tell you for certain what's going on around us beyond the fact that I think a lot of people are lying, and the lying is not about small things. And I'm fairly certain I'm not special. So like I said, if it's happening to me, it's likely happening to millions of fucking people. If you are in your lane, if you're doing the things that they want you to do, if you vote and support a party, if you go to your job and pay taxes, if you use the money that they want you to use, or you get, you know, manipulated into using a new kind of money that's going to destroy you. It doesn't matter. As long as you're in your lane, you might never even experience what I'm talking about. But if you step out of that lane, if you decide to take a right turn or a left turn, and I don't mean this politically, if you decide to not do the things that they want you to do in a statistical sense, then yeah, I do think this kind of crooked version of the KGB swoops in on you. And it's a crooked version because it is. It's like a weird mixture of Aldous Huxley and George Orwell. It is. It is social engineering, which is really just military psychological warfare by another name. But why don't we just call it manipulation? In fact, why don't we keep it simpler, you know, historically simpler, and for all of us, simpler. Why don't we just call it grifting? A con artist. And it's happening to a lot of people. Anyways, I want to get off of this. I get all of these messages now that are so interesting on my Rumble channel. I don't really get any reach. Here's a fun fact about me. If you think you know of a way to make money off of my podcast, there's a reason why I post the MP3s. I don't know. Maybe people are fucking crazy. But I've been posting MP3s for years. For years. You know, it actually, pretty soon, you know, it'll be more than that. It'll be a decade. The point is, I post my... When I have a blog that hasn't been shut down, when I have a blog that hasn't been ripped off by GoDaddy, fuck you, I post my MP3s. So if a person thought they could make some money, I would prefer they be honest and cut me in. But there's nothing that prevents you from doing it. There's nothing that prevents people from printing out a poster I've made. There's nothing that prevents people from taking some sort of graphic I've generated. Nothing. So if there is this massive idea that I have content that is whatever, then let's find out. But I'm going to read you what Misha bravely left me as a message. Dr. Freckles. I must say your content is truly remarkable. It's surprising that more people aren't following a channel like yours. It's definitely worth it, baby. He didn't say baby, I did. However, I noticed that your channel isn't appearing in some search results. Oh, fuck, you're noticing that? I'm Misha Bravely, a certified Rumble channel specialist, and I can help. Low visibility is one of the reasons your videos aren't getting the views and the followers they deserve. Let's talk about how to fix that. Dear Misha, and frankly, I'm not talking to a person, I'm talking to a system. So, dear system, we already know why the channel doesn't appear in certain search results. We already have an answer to that question. Dear Misha, if you wanted to help me and you got me some money, I'm an honest person. I'd probably cut you in. Dear Misha, you don't have to have my permission to do your fucking job. In fact, this isn't just about Misha. I get these messages with the same basic structure every day of the week. I don't really get new people, quote unquote, because I can't really say who's real on Spotify or Rumble either. But I definitely get these freaks offering to make my channel something special because it's so, you have such great content. Really? Because that could be a lie too. Next topic. So they say a polar vortex is coming. Yeah, polar vortex, and it's coming down from Canada. We got that slashy thing going on where half the country is this and half the country is that. There's a heat dome moving into Scompton. They expect 45,000 cows to explode. There's a derecho someplace in Texas chasing after young women. There's an atmospheric river in my pants. There are clouds dropping from the sky. Not rolling in, not moving with the wind. In fact, some days, it's just a haze. There ain't no breeze. The clouds just dropping in from the fucking sky. They're gonna have to get rid of that fucking musical, right? Or that movie? Or any song titled The Clouds Rolling By? Or with that line? They're gonna have to edit it all. Because what we really know is clouds drop from the sky. Wind starting and stopping on the schedule according to General Overblaster. Smelly, nasty, really smelly, nasty, soapy rain. A kind of rain that is more bone-chilling than you would expect. Lots of foaminess around the drains. Smelly, foamy, slippery rain. The snow is falling. It's 50 degrees. The snow is falling, it is 50 degrees. But then an hour later, it's 25. The snow is falling, it's above freezing. An hour later, you're almost dying. An hour later, there are cows being caked with some type of gumbus, some type of frozen shit. There are elk and deer being caked with some type of chemical concoction. All of these things are gifts from the sky. All of these things are gifts from the polar vortex. It's the most wonderful time of year, really. At some point, you have to ask yourself some questions about this weird slash across the United States. I don't remember it when I was a kid, how one half the country would be, I don't know, hot, and the other side would be cold, one side wet, the other side in a drought for 20 years. None of it made sense the last decade or so. And that doesn't mean I know what's going on. It just means that, like I've said before, I think everybody's lying. I think your Republican leaders on issues concerning the climate and the environment, they are fucking lying. I think your Democratic leaders on these issues are fucking lying. I can guarantee your local commie overlord is fucking lying. When it comes to the environment, everybody's lying. And I think that's the ominous sign. That's the evidence. I know that sounds crazy. Dan, that's not evidence. That's your own observation. That is correct. But I am telling you, one of these ominous signs is the simple fact that when it comes to something that impacts the food you eat, the air you breathe, the water you drink, everybody's fucking lying. But till the clouds roll by, right? Because I haven't seen clouds rolling by maybe once or twice. But other than once or twice in the last fucking 10 years, what they usually do is they just kind of magically appear. First, there's a lot of fucking planes flying around making contrails. And then the water vapor condenses and the clouds just fucking drop in. That's the version you need to hear. Of course, they'll tell you the government's building their magical geoengineering detector in Colorado Springs. Of course they are. Not far from NORAD. What do you want me to tell you? Next topic. Dan, you sons of bitches. I know. Oh boy. So this is more of a Sovietological alert. Maybe a discernment alert, although my discernment's kind of broken right now. But Zero Hedge, because again, I got Schadenfreude, I gotta go back to that crooked fucking place, because it's the only place I'll go, which I suppose is a compliment. But when it comes to the news, which I can only say with a sarcastic voice, when it comes to the news, I go to Zero Hedge just to see the headlines. And there's a headline saying a new chapter of the Bible was found hidden inside a 1750-year-old text. preserved in ancient Syriac manuscript, the chapter challenges long-held assumptions about biblical texts and their seemingly static nature. Huh, wow, this is convenient. I'm not in the business of predicting the end of the world because I don't believe the world is coming to an end. I've known people like that. I've given them too much of my fucking time. I even have one or two stalkers out there who consistently, since 2020, will tell me that they think the world is coming to an end. I don't think it is. Does it mean it's going to be happiness and sunshine? Bullshit. Probably not. But there are so many degrees between, motherfucker. It's not just, you know, zero or one. On or off. So no, I don't think the world's coming to an end. Could we be on the edge of the end times? Maybe. But I don't know. My relationship with God ain't so great, so my connection to that isn't so great. But let's say you had a chessboard, and let's pretend you're the devil. And I don't mean like the Paul Harvey speech that I showcase in my Danifesto. Huh, we're done talking about Paul Harvey. No, I want you to imagine that I'm the devil. Not really, but imagine there's a plan and I've seen it. If you wanted to put the Antichrist in charge of the United States of America, Trump plus J.D. Vance is ideal for a couple different reasons. Number one, Trump then becomes the thing I think he's always intended to be, and that is, you know, the explosion. That Trump doesn't make it. That one of the outcomes of what I'm describing in the devil's plan is that sometime in probably March or April, and gosh, wouldn't it be great if it was, what, the Ides of March? The Ides of March, make it all Caesar-like, holy fuck. Because these are really degenerate, evil people. And by the way, once again, Rome, the city, the Vatican, the place, is not a holy place. Sorry. Sorry for that shocker. But imagine Trump in March gets assassinated by an Iranian. Probably an Iranian. Could be somebody else. But the point is, it ends up meaning we need to go and invade Iran. All of a sudden, J.D. Trance, J.D. Vance, whatever you want to call him, he becomes president. Probably Tulsi Gabbard becomes vice president. And what Trump looks like is a surfboard. Yeah, I know. I said he's designed to explode. But maybe, and I've mentioned this before, but maybe the appropriate analogy is Trump's a surfboard. Because Tulsi's a surfer. And J.D.'s cool. He likes to hang out on the couch. But you can't just do that, because it's a chess game. A chess game the devil thinks he can win against God. Of course he can't. But that's part of God's plan, too. And that's the part that a lot of people, they lose sight of. It's kind of like the thing I said. Don't take it personally. I don't think that, you know, I think that's one of the reasons why the devil loses. He takes things way too fucking personally. Don't take it personally, man. So you can't just put J.D. Trance, and I go, it's Vance. No, I'm going to call him J.D. Trance from now on. You can't just put J.D. Trance into the Oval Office. You have to have other pieces on the board in the right location. He needs a John the Baptist. Oh boy, I think that's been set up for him too, Mr. and Mrs. Pope of the Vatican. But you also need the mythology. You need the story. You need the story that you can tell that is the great deception. What I'm talking about is a deception that will be bigger and deeper than 9/11, bigger and deeper than the COVID, bigger and deeper than anything we've seen so far. If this is in fact what is going to happen, it'll be the greatest deception of all time. Because the greatest grifter, the devil, is in charge of the PSYOP. And one piece of that PSYOP is to have some crooked, oh, we've magically found a crooked text. I'm going to tell you guys something. If I had an army and I could do it, I would invade the Vatican. There are lots of reasons for doing it, but my reason is for uncovering the vaults. Because I am convinced that the quote-unquote, I mean, and this is what I'm saying, it goes back way before what we call the Vatican. It even goes back before Augustus Caesar called himself Pontifex Maximus. Oh, yeah, you guys should research your Catholic stuff. It goes back a long ways. It goes back to the burning of the Library of Alexandria. What if I told you, and I know you don't want to believe it, because those Romans, even before Christ, were so honest and so honorable. What a load of shit. Anyways, what if I told you those books weren't burnt? What if I told you that if you could break into the Vatican and you could break into the library, you would find the Alexandrian library, you would find Mayan texts that, the Jesuits burn them. No, they didn't. They probably burnt something, but they didn't burn them. You would find ancient ancient cultural artifacts. You would find the treasures of the world and maybe even some of the objects of evil. But the point is, when you read something that says a new chapter of the Bible was found hidden in a text at the Vatican, you should at least take it with a bag of salt, is all I'm saying. Because I'm not going to read it, by the way. I'll tell you why. Even if my discernment is broken, I'm not reading this new chapter. I'm fairly convinced that the purpose of this quote-unquote new evidence is to manipulate us. It is. Oh, but Dan, the Vatican would... Oh, really? Did you ever hear that if you took all the pieces of the true cross that were showcased in all those wonderful cathedrals that the middle-aged people spent all their resources on building, if I ever told you, if you took every piece of the true cross and you basically put it in a pile, there'd be enough wood there to build a fleet of ships. And what about the... What was it? What was it? The Shroud of Turin? The Shroud of Turin? The Shroud of Turin? Well, I mean, anybody, to include Jesus, could tell you that was going to be fake. The Lord in heaven has told us this. It's in the Old Testament and the New. Jesus Christ, his son, told us this. There are so many fakers. In so many ways, your Lord has told you there are fakers. There are people who pretend to have powers. There are people who will pretend to be Jesus. So before you ever read this sacred text that the headline is somehow challenges something, well, guess what? You've got your dark John the Baptist. It's the Pope. You've got your potential Antichrist. It's J.D. Trance. You have your surfboard. You have your martyr. You have your sacrifice, and it's probably going to be Papa Blump. But in a world of psyops, what does that even mean? You know, is this a real person? Do you know? I don't. And if you want me to trust randomly shit that I read, I'm sorry, I can't. I can't just trust. If somebody says, well, Donald Trump visited Cleveland yesterday, unless I was there and I could verify it was actually Trump, I'm sorry. It sounds like a nice story, but I have no fucking clue. Next topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. If necessity is the mother of invention, the grandmother is frustration. If necessity leads to invention, frustration leads to necessity. So I have to tutor kids in mathematics, and there are a couple subjects that are just hard. A lot of it relates to PEMDAS, which means order of operations. You know, a lot of it does relate to that. A fair amount of it relates to fractions. But really, the number one great white shark for a lot of these kids is negative numbers. And I find it useful to use money as an example because everybody needs money. And my situation is a big negative. So, you know, it's not easy. And I'm not hired to be a teacher, so I really can't have a class. I can't really do much except for tutor. But I am trying to come up with strategies that make it more effective. And I have this idea for a game. And also, I don't care if you rip it off. I would just prefer, if it's original, and I'm not sure it is, that you at least, you know, make me a footnote. And if you actually make a version of it yourself, that maybe you cut me in. I don't know. But I'm going to make my own version of it. And the game amounts to something fairly basic. Imagine a deck of cards, like a deck of poker cards. On the cards are numbers, negative numbers, positive integers. I'm thinking I would want to stick for practical purposes, you know, 0 to, let's say, 20. 0 to 20 negative, 0 to 20 positive. And then the standard fractions, you know, like 1/2, 3/4, stuff like that. Negative and positive. And so you have these numbers in front of you. And future versions, I'm even thinking of, I think I'm going to add it to this version. You also have what I would call power cards. These are cards with variables on them that maybe it's 2x, maybe it's x squared, maybe it's x cubed. Everybody wants that one. And with a power card, you can take one of those numbers and take it because it's a constant, but you can replace the variable. So you can replace the variable and say, oh, I've got a 4 and this is x squared. And you say, well, Dan, what's the purpose? Here's the purpose. If you get dealt 5 cards, your goal in playing this game is to maximize or to minimize, because you can go either direction. You could say, you could do 3 kinds of versions of the game at least. You could do a game where it's maximized, which means with your 5 numbers, using PEMDAS, using addition, subtraction, multiplication, you know, division, and parentheses, the basic stuff. Negatives, the negatives and positives are going to come from the numbers you get. But using those manipulations, what is the biggest number you can create? What's the biggest number that gets generated, depending upon how you combine the numbers? And so all of a sudden you have kids thinking about negative numbers and positive numbers, but they kind of have a goal that sort of makes sense. Take this pile of numbers and maximize it. Or take the pile and minimize it. Biggest wins, smallest wins. And you could do a rule of what I would call absolute value, which means that in an absolute value game, it doesn't really matter if it's negative or positive. It simply has to be the biggest number when you apply absolute value. But the point is, with most of these kids, I'd start with the maximization game, which is to say that here are some numbers. If we combine these numbers in a certain way, using the rules of arithmetic, what is the biggest number we can make? And if you happen to be lucky enough to have a power card, then you can go ahead and substitute in one of those numbers, and the number can get bigger. I don't know if this will work, but I do know that I care. If you're asking me if I'm just a pure mercenary getting paid lots of money, actually, if you knew how little I made, some of you might feel sorry for me, but I wouldn't want that because I don't feel sorry for me. But no, I don't make a lot of money, and I just don't go there to sit around and do nothing or just to serve my own interests. I actually do care about these kids. It's part of the reason why I'm not doing so great. But I was thinking that I'm going to give this a try, because it's hard to talk about negative numbers, in part because they're so fucking negative, you know? It's like everything's so fucking negative with negative numbers, but it's not, because, you know, a negative times a negative is a positive. And the other thing that I had a hard time explaining yesterday was subtracting a negative. But another way of looking at subtracting a negative, let's say you owe me $50. You owe me $50, buddy. You owe me $50. That's a big minus 50. But I come by tomorrow and I say, you know what? Don't worry about it. Okay? Take $10 off. So basically, I'm saying subtract 10, which is really remove part of the negative. So I have like $50 minus 50, subtracting 10. How do I subtract? Oh, I subtract a negative. I subtract 10 because it's being taken back. The guy says it's okay. Now I only owe $40. So basically subtracting a negative, becoming a positive, one way of thinking about it, and I don't know if this is a good explanation, is it's kind of like somebody cutting you a break when you owe them money. If they cut you a break, that's like subtracting a negative. It sounds crazy maybe, I don't know. But there are different ways you can talk about it when it comes to negative numbers. Another good analogy is going up and down stairs. I've used that before. I think the money one is generally the best one, because all things being equal, even kids who hate math these days will try to learn enough math so they have more money. So the idea that, you know, there's nothing that works is not true, but it is kind of like coming up with tricks to get kids interested in a topic that sometimes is too boring. And another thing is this, you know, I'm not a fan of the public school system. Okay, you know that. You also know that a lot of us are doing the things we got to do right now. And I'm not happy about it, and I'm not proud of it. But the other simple truth is, not everybody gets, how can I put this? I think we talked about it yesterday. Not every student's going to progress at the same rate when it comes to mathematics, especially mathematics. And some students who might progress later might end up being math geniuses if the world actually understood how kids' brains work, and I think a lot of people don't. I think a lot of kids need more activity outside of school. I think a lot of kids spend too much time in school. And homework assignments these days, I think, are kind of crazy. I really do. You could say it's because of Common Core. I don't know. You could say it's for other reasons. But I think that there are some things that aren't quite working right when it comes to mathematics education. And I don't have all the answers, right? Like I said, I'm just trying to do a better job as a tutor. Next topic. Oh, okay. There's another Zero Hedge headline we should read. Conspiracy fact, IG report confirms FBI had dozens of informants in January 6th crowd. That was published yesterday, that article. I was telling people prior, I'm on the record, I can't point to a podcast on Spotify because they basically canceled me. I can't point to my blog on GoDaddy because they canceled me, but I still have the MP3 files. And you know what? Maybe the web archive still has some links to it. I'm on the record on my podcast prior to January 6th telling people don't go. For lots of reasons. Not least of which they went to the wrong fucking place. You want to go to the Power in D.C., at least go to the Eccles Building. If you don't know what the Eccles Building is, then you've got some real big fucking problems, buddy. And Donald Blump ain't going to fucking help you. So one of the things that was weird to me was the target. They should have gone to Langley. They should have gone to the fucking Pentagon. But instead, they went to the Pit of Vipers. So yeah, these guys are kind of crazy. They thought they were going to the powerhouse. What they were going to was the giant snake pit, the manipulation game. And I said, there's a good chance a lot of you guys will get arrested. And there's a good chance you're doing it for nothing. That this is a giant put on. This headline of Zero Hedge is half right. Okay, January 6th was an event. It was orchestrated. Anybody who went there, how can I phrase it? They're a lot like the Antifa freaks. There were lots of Antifa freaks in Seattle in 2020 who were just useful fucking idiots. And a lot of useful idiots got harmed by going to D.C. on January 6th. But you're telling me there's tons of FBI in the crowds? I already knew that, you fucking dumbasses. Next topic. Oh, wow. And here we go. The headline about Man of the Year bullshit. I don't know. Yeah. Man of the Year. Trump is the person of the year. They don't say man, they say person. USA chants roar as Trump rings New York Stock Exchange bell after being named Time Person of the Year. This is a weird story, folks, and I'm not sure how you should interpret it, but given the thread, the general arc of today's conversation, I think you can file it away in, you know, it looks like things are about to get really fucking crazy again. It feels, in a weird way, a lot like 2019, in the sense that the background radiation of crazy is there, but they're about to ratchet it up. It's about to get a lot worse. It could be blue beam. Oh, little green men are coming to kill us. It could be another pandemic, bird flu, exploding cows, who knows. Could be World War III. I mean, a lot of people have been trying to say we're already in World War III. I don't know. I kind of feel like that's its own kind of gaslighting. But it could be World War III. We could have a little nuclear war. I don't think the world's coming to an end. So the most likely scenario would be, you know, what they call limited nuclear war. And as some people have pointed out, like Dane Wigington, a limited nuclear war at this point probably would be quite disastrous, you know? You know, just if you know, you know. I don't want to talk about it. This Time magazine thing is weird. A lot of people who vilified Trump just a few months ago are jumping on the Trump train. And I don't know what's going to happen next year. But I do not believe Trump, as a phenomenon, was engineered to finish his second term. I think they 100% intended him to be a placeholder. And I do think if you wanted to do the COVID, and you didn't want a civil war to break out right then and there, you kind of need Trump. You know, you really do. A Democrat couldn't have done it because a lot of people would have gone apeshit. After Obama, they would have gone apeshit. Oh, you want to do lockdowns? They would have locked and loaded. But they had Papa Blump. They had the magical QAnon. They could sit on their Cabela's and not do nothing. Yeah, if you want to fuck people, Trump's actually a good choice because A, the people that hate him are always going to hate him, and B, the people that love him are going to let him walk all over them. They're going to get bump stocked and warp speeded, and they won't fucking care because in their head, this is what normal looks like. And the final topic for today. Yeah. So, I don't like YouTube as an institution because I don't like Alphabet or Google. I don't really like these companies. I think they're kind of terrible. I love free enterprise. I don't think that's what we have in our country. But there's this one advertisement for Estee Lauder and this particular model, Anna de Armas. I don't care if I'm saying it right because these are people I'll never know and they might not even be real. But there's this advertisement for Estee Lauder and there's a few of them. I have a link to one of them, but there's a few of them. And it's just, I say to myself, when I'm watching them before I can click skip, and oh, but Dan, I could install, you can install, I don't, shut the fuck up. This is my story, not yours. But before I can push skip, I say to myself, how do people watch this and pretend that that is a world, that that's a place, that that's a place where you could exist in? I watch it and I see something that really just looks like mockery. It's mockery. Where you live may not be falling apart yet. There are a lot of places that are. I have visited a few in the last 10 years, and it didn't just happen under Obama. Where you live might be stable. It might look a lot like Anna de Armas. Or you might actually be living in a hellhole. Truth is, given that there's only a few of you out there listening, I have no idea. It's entirely plausible that there's not one real person that listens to my podcast. The only reason why I'm not ready to go there is because there are still a few people that my heart needs to believe are real. But yeah, other than one or two people. Yeah, exactly. Who the fuck am I talking to? Nobody. So I look at this thing, this little commercial for Estee Lauder, and all I can think, and I'm going to drink a little bit of water here first, all I can think is how the hell do people look at that world and say to themselves, I fit there? I know there are people who probably do. They're not people I know. They're probably people I'm never going to meet. To include people I've previously met, I've never met these people. I'll meet all kinds of strange people. To include people who want to start their own cults. But I never, ever end up in a place like that. It's like those, you know, drug commercials for HIV. Everybody looks like they're having fun, eating great food, great company, great conversations, laughing. It's a commercial for an HIV drug, but what they're selling is a lifestyle. Decode that, you know? So my advice with respect to that Syriac thing, don't read it. Don't read it. Now, I don't care because no one's going to listen. It's a lot like January the 6th, you know? It's a lot like that. I can tell you all day long prior to the event, multiple times saying, don't go. But there'll be some kind of fucking Mega Man shithead who will go. I can tell you don't read that fucking text, but it will do nothing. And I can say this knowing that only a couple people would listen in, are listening anyways. So yeah, there you go, I'm helping. But if you're one real person or two or maybe three out there and you're hearing this, do not read that text, okay? A lot like going to DC on January 6, 2021, don't be a fucking moron, okay? It is Friday the 13th. Hoo hoo hoo. Where are you? Where are you, Jason? Where are you, Jason? Are you coming for me, Voorhees? Are you gonna take that machete and your hockey mask and split my skull open, Jason? What'd I ever do to you, Jason? What'd I do to you, Jason? Aren't you happy on your trip with those Argonauts? Oh, Jason, are you looking for the golden fleece? Oh, Jason, are you gonna kill the geese? Oh, Jason. Yeah, it's Friday the 13th. It is 5:15 a.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula. It is December. It is the year 2024. I think that Boblimpdoc is almost over, friends. I've not been doing this for a while because I don't see the point. There are a few people who respond to it, but I don't know. I think those few people should stop. If you want to donate to my podcast, Mr. 1 and Mr. 2 and perhaps Mr. 3 and 4, if you want to donate, please listen to the following. First, if you've already donated this year or ever and you don't have the money, don't worry about it. Okay, don't send me an email saying, oh, Dan, I can't afford no more. Guess what? I've been telling people this in every one of my fucking podcasts for several fucking years now. If you don't have the money, you don't have to. There's a reason why I give them away for free, and there's a reason why I only beg at the end. Generally speaking, I think that's true. Before you ever give money to any stranger on the internet, make sure you can pay for your food, water, shelter. If you don't already know this, and I'm the first person to tell you this, I'm sorry. Take care of your food, water, shelter first before you ever donate to my podcast or frankly give money to anybody, okay? If there are people in your life that you care about, that you know, that you can verify as real, because I'm sorry, that's where we're at in the game. If there are real people in your life that need help, help them before you donate to my podcast. If you are setting aside food for your family, 6 months worth, yeah. I think 6 months worth is technically optimism at this point. But if you're setting aside 6 months worth of food for your family and you have a pet, a dog, a cat, whatever, make sure you think about your animals too. And this isn't just the food, okay? Believe it or not, kitty litter can help you and your kitty. You can take a garbage bag and you can use it as liner for your toilet. You can put into the liner some kitty litter. And then you can use your toilet safely, you know, even if the plumbing's not working. Okay? There are strategies that work for you in a grid-down situation, especially if you live in a city, that can also work for your kitty and for your dog. And these are useful strategies. Bottom line is, though, if you're setting aside food for your family and you have a pet, make sure you're thinking about your pet. Okay? And do that. Do that before you ever donate to my podcast. It's not the end of the world. But man, if you haven't read A Distant Mirror by Barbara Tuchman, you probably should. It's still not too late. Read the book and understand. If you want to simplify my best case scenario, that book in a qualitative sense captures it. I think the next 50 to 100 years are going to be fucking crazy. And we ain't seen nothing yet. And at the end of that, there could be a second renaissance. Who knows? I can't predict the future. Remember what the brother of Jesus says. Remember what James says in James 4. And remember why I think maybe more of us should say these days, Deo Volente. Because if it's God's will, it's going to happen. I don't have any control over it. Guess what? Neither do you. And let's just remind ourselves, whether it's the devil or God, vis-a-vis you as a person, on one level, it isn't personal. Like, yes, your relationship to God is a personal relationship, but the plan is the plan. And the plan is the biggest HIMAR tank you could ever build it's infinitely large and it's going at 3,000 times the speed of light, the plan is simply going to happen, whatever it is. So take the burden off your shoulders. Understand that on one level, it's not personal. And when it comes to the devil, on a certain level, it's not personal either. I'm not saying him, you know, he definitely treats things in that personal kind of way. But I mean how the system might be treating you. There are people that work for the devil that honestly believe it's just a fucking job. There are people that work for the devil that don't believe in God and don't believe in the devil. There are people who, if the devil tells them, I'm a sociopath, Dan. I think doing meth is cool, Dan. There are people that work for the devil who call themselves Christians, but if the devil, who's just a boss, just a manager, just a particular figurehead, tells them to do some crack, to do some crank, to go do something not so good so that they can be blackmailed. Yeah, there are Christians out there today who are being tricked. There are atheists out there today who don't believe in any of this and are being tricked. They're being tricked. So I don't have to tell you. It's definitely Friday the 13th, and it's definitely 2024. And if you want to donate to my podcast, you can. But it's not the end of the world. So before you donate, do one other thing. Give yourself a fucking break. If there's a road trip you've been postponing, don't donate money to me. Donate money to that project. If there's somebody you want to take out on a date tonight because it's not the end of the world, and guess what? We should try to, like, have joy and shit, do that before you donate to me. If you'd like to cook your family a really nice dinner, but you're in a quandary, should I donate to Dan or not? Guess what? You should cook your family a nice fucking dinner. I am literally the last thing, and at some point in the near future, I really think it's going to be clear that it doesn't matter. That there are things that matter, like, for example, a nice family dinner. Okay, this gets back to something I've been saying consistently for several years before 2020. In fact, in 2019, this was a common refrain, a thing you would have heard me say over and over again. A time is coming when the things we think are invaluable and priceless will be known to be worthless. And a time is coming where the stuff we think is worthless today, like family dinners, like falling in love, like having a good relationship with somebody, a time is coming where the things that we are told are worthless today will be priceless. And I don't think that date is too far in the future. Yes, have I been waiting on it? I have. In 2015, I thought it was 5 to 10 years away. I don't, that's the funny thing. A lot of my gang stalkers try to pretend that there's an inconsistency in the things I've been talking about, but in reality, there's not. The only thing that's changed is that there was stuff that happened in 2020 that I've been honest about that I really didn't see coming. Like, for example, I did not see the emergence of military psychological warfare as the king of battle. The king of battle's always been artillery, but I think in 2020, the king of battle became military psychological warfare. And if you understand the role of psyops in military science, that's an ominous sign. It is an ominous sign. It is a Quaker gun sign. When you see that, you're seeing people painting logs black and trying to pretend they're canon. Or going on TikTok and posting a video of some train moving SP-155 out of Fort Sill, but then calling them tanks. Oh my God, Dan, look at this video. The government's moving tanks around. If I got nothing out of being in the Army, at least I know that A, an SP-155 is not a tank, and B, if you ever go into a battle with tanks with an SP-155, frankly, if you go into battle against, what's that armored truck? The MRAP. If you go to war with an MRAP, you have an SP-155 and someone else has an MRAP, you're done. The armor on an SP-155 is not designed to do much more than deal with shrapnel or small arms fire. In fact, the key strategy to survive in the artillery war is something called shoot and scoop. You shoot as fast as you can, and then you move. You move as fast as you can. And the truth is, the SP-155 is not that fast. But for battlefield purposes, it's okay. It's not okay to go one-on-one with tanks. No. You're not going to... Yeah. So there was a lot of that in 2020. a lot of painting logs black, a lot of people pretending that a self-propelled 155 is a tank. And the worst part is that even people with zero military experience could have gone on the internet and figured it out for themselves. The fucks, the motherfuckers who tell me, oh my God, Dan, now that we have the internet, we're all smarter. No, I don't think so, buddy. Because you just called an SP-155 a tank, shithead. Anyways, if you want to donate, you can. You don't have to. Like everybody, I could use money. So if there is the random millionaire, billionaire out there who randomly found my podcast and randomly wants to give me a shit ton of money, I ain't gonna say no, billionaire. I ain't gonna say no to you, buddy. I've been told it's impossible, but I've also been told we should hope. Have a great Friday the 13th.